If you turn with us this morning, we want to consider a portion of God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be looking some in 13 and 14 as well. As you're turning, I just want to thank the elders again for the honor and privilege to get invited back home and be able to open God's Word and to share God's Word with you. This is home. Bill didn't talk about how bad I was when he was a youth director and I was in the youth, but We grew past some of that anyway. Kathy sends her regards and regrets as well. She had planned to be with me today. She's having some health issue with her arm, and we can't seem to figure out why it's swelling, and so she's on some medication, and that sort of just puts her under the weather. We do have an appointment this week, if you keep us in mind in prayers, at Duke. That ought to show you how desperate we are to find a solution. But we've been to about 15 doctors, and nobody exactly knows what's going on, so we're going to Duke and see. I voted against that, but I don't win many votes in my house anyway. And also just want to thank you for your kind, loving, and continued care over Dad. It's hard for us being out of town, but to know that there are so many of you that are impacting his life, it means a really lot to us. And we've offered for him to come to Wilson, but he keeps saying, Chuck, you don't want to drive to church for 2 hours every Sunday, so it's just not going to work. So, but that shows sort of the topic I'm going to talk about. You know, Dad is connected here. This is his family. This is his home. This is his life. This is what means so much to him on a daily basis. And so today we're going to be talking about that concept of being connected to a local church and what that should look like and the blessings that come out of that. My thoughts on this were triggered recently by a couple of articles that I saw and that caught my attention in the Raleigh News and Observer. Down east, most folks call that the Raleigh News and Disturber because it's a very liberal newspaper. But there were two articles. They were not on the sports page and they were not in the business section. They were actually in the lifestyle section, but it caught my attention. One article covered three columns, had big pictures, and it was an article on the current modern megachurch movement. And it related particularly to the Raleigh-Durham area, talking about some of the megachurches where thousands and thousands of people gather on a Sunday. The article was entitled The Sermon on the Screen. And if you've ever been into the more contemporary churches, you know everything's up on a screen and everything's a PowerPoint. And it's a lot about music and it's a lot about entertainment. The article went on to talk about those characteristics of the modern megachurch and why they're attracting so many people. It talked about the contemporary music, the casual atmosphere, the easy-to-listen sermons, and the fact that everybody goes away feeling pretty good about things. And so that was sort of the article there. And then in one small little one column, there was another article called The Church is Losing Its Way. And it went to comment that many of these megachurches are growing because they're not applying New Testament scriptures to how they function and how they gather and how they conduct themselves. That article highlighted the fact that many of these megachurches have basically moved away from scriptural teaching and doctrinal teaching and foundational teaching. It talked about, again, they've compromised in many, many areas, and a lot of them are being run as businesses or based on the marketing studies they do of how to attract people, and they're not really being focused on the Word of God. But it was interesting, there was one common characteristic in both articles, and addressed the fact that in the current megachurches, they will admit, as well as this author who was writing about the problems in the church, that many folks attending those meetings are mere spectators. They are not connected to the local body of Christ. They just come and listen and go away back into their own little lives and their own little worlds. And both articles commented how that is not the way God would have it according to New Testament teaching. And so today, I want to focus in on what I see here in the Scripture. I'm not going to talk about the modern contemporary church movement because I know most of you have lunch plans and you don't want to be here as long as it would take me to discuss that. And also because Shannon Hills Chapel has not given in to the modernism that's creeping across this country today. This church still meets on the foundational principles with Jesus Christ as Lord, the Scriptures as inerrant, and the focus for our lives. And so I do want to focus, though, and remind us of what it means to be connected to the local body of Christ, what it means as a foundational principle for true believers in Jesus Christ to be a part of a local fellowship, to not be spectators, but to be involved. And so we're going to look at that and try to remind and challenge ourselves as we see five blessings of being connected to the local church. The scripture here is in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read from verse 1 of chapter 12 through verse 20, and then we'll look at a little background of why this was relevant to the church at Corinth and why I think it's relevant to us today. This was Paul writing to this church, and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," or "now concerning spirituality, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." That implies that they were ignorant at that point. They didn't get it. And so that's why he's writing to them concerning spirituality, concerning spiritual gifts. "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and the very same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." Hopefully the Lord will bless us through the reading of his word as we try to focus in on this. It is especially interesting to me that God gave these particular instructions through Paul to this church at Corinth. It wasn't given to the church at Ephesus. It wasn't given to other churches. It was given to this church at Corinth. Corinth was a city that was the capital city of Achaia. It was located between two major bodies of water, and this is where it became a major trade and industrial and commercial city. It was a city known for activity. It was a city known for wealth, for materialism. It was a city known as a seat of political power. It was a seat known, unfortunately, for vast immorality that seeped into the common day-to-day culture and influenced everybody that lived there. It was a society that thought they were intelligent, thought they were smart, thought they had the answers, and yet it was a wicked, sinful city. And in this city where there was this church that was seeking to function, Paul characterizes this church as one that was more influenced by the world than one that was having an influence on the world around it. This was a church where the influence of the world was creeping in and grasping the functionality of this church. I would submit it is much like the modern church movement today, where the ways of the world are controlling how the church functions instead of the scripture controlling how the church functions. So I see a lot of parallels. Every day these believers were bombarded by sinful influences and materialistic influences, political influences on how they should live their lives. And they were not carrying on the way God wanted them. Paul addresses them and he calls them carnal. He calls them worldly. He calls them fleshly. He calls them immature. And we see here today he called them ignorant. They thought they knew what they were doing, but in God's sight, they were off base on how they should function in the local church. They were tremendously influenced by the world around them. And it was to these believers that God, through Paul, says, you need to be connected to a local church. Your functionality in life needs to be centered around Jesus Christ as the head, and you need to be a part of the body of a local church. So he goes and he gives numerous challenges. And while at times his language can be condemnatory, I think on a positive note, he points out what I see again are five blessings of getting connected to the body of Christ. It was a critical message then. I think it's a critical message now because I see the parallels in our current world as we are influenced and bombarded by the material, the immoral, the political left-wing system of our world today. We are bombarded. And our challenge is, are we going to stand true as a local church and be what God wants us to be? Or are we going to adapt the ways of the world? That is our challenge. Let's look at the first blessing. The first blessing is that of indwelling, and we see it in chapter 12, verse 7. He sums up some of the things he's already said, but he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for profit. As we consider the blessings of getting connected, we have to have a starting place. I would be remiss in my responsibility if I led you down looking at the other blessings without you understanding that there has to be a starting place of getting connected to the local church. And that starting place means coming into the body of Christ. How do you do that? You come into the body of Christ in a simple and a clear path. There are many churches today, churches in Greensboro, North Carolina, that do not present a clear understanding of how you become connected to the body of Christ, of how you become a believer, because that is a starting point. There are churches today that will just tell you if you're good enough, if you do enough good things, then you're going to be okay. There are churches that would tell you, again, doing enough good works will get you a relationship with God and get you into heaven. There are churches, believe it or not, that will just tell you everybody is a part of the church of God. Everybody is going to heaven. Everybody is God's children. And there are some that will just say, you know, just keep showing up and eventually it'll just happen. But I think if you study Scripture, if you go through the book of Acts, when you see individual after individual coming to know Jesus Christ and accept Him, it was an event. It wasn't an evolutionary process. You don't just keep showing up and become something. You know, I used to drive a Ford Taurus, and I would go park it beside BMWs and Mercedes, hoping it would get influenced and turn into something. It stayed a Ford Taurus. You don't just evolve into the folks you hang around with. It's an event. Scripture is very clear that coming to know Jesus Christ, that starting the step to get connected is where you go through an event. You can go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, very familiar verse. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, folks heard and they said, what do we do to be saved? And he said, you repent. You recognize that you are without God in your life, that you are separated from Him and you are caught up in your sins, and you repent. You are willing to turn away from that. And you accept His offer, his gift of his son as your Savior. And he comes into your life, and then Scripture shows there that you're to be baptized. And the Scripture says, those that did this were filled, they were indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. What a blessing. When we come to know Christ as our Savior, that is a starting point for being connected to the body of Christ, and we are filled, we are indwelled by His Holy Spirit. This is the first blessing, is that God puts His own being inside of us. We could stop and spend the rest of the day meditating on that, that God in His awesome wisdom says, when you repent and you accept my Son as your Savior, I put my being inside of you. If we had time, I would take you over to John chapter 16, which talks about what the blessings of having the Holy Spirit indwelling within us on a daily basis. It talks about that Spirit convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Why is that important? When we turn away from sin and we turn into God through Jesus Christ, we're still human. We still have the old nature. We still are like these Corinthians. We have carnality. We are worldly. We are fleshly. And the Holy Spirit daily shows us what is sin. So we'll know that in our daily lives we need to be turning away from sin. He also then shows us righteousness. He shows us how we are to conduct ourselves and what our life should look like. And then He shows us judgment to help us to know the difference between the two. Scripture also says that the Holy Spirit guides us in all things. Is this not a hard world to live in? Is it not a confusing world when we're bombarded on every side? And yet God says, one of the blessings of coming into my family and being a part of my body is my Spirit will guide you in how to conduct yourselves and how to deal with the everyday issues that come up in life. That is what my Spirit will do. It says again in that same portion, my Spirit will show you all things. And finally, my Spirit will help you glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. This first blessing focuses on the Spirit of God. It is the connecting point. It is the starting point. It's something we need to focus on and contemplate as we think about why it's important to be connected, because we have the Spirit of God drawing us together. The second blessing of getting connected is inclusion. Look at verses 12 and 13. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The blessing of inclusion. This blessing focuses on the support of the body of Christ for you. Being associated and being connected to something bigger than us, it's a desire that we as humans have. I noticed a sign on the highway today as I was riding down. It was talking about, come join another 180,000 members at some credit union. We need to join. We have this need to join. Reflect back over your life. How many groups have you joined and been a part of? Maybe as a youth it was on certain sports teams or certain things in your neighborhoods or certain things at school. You joined Scouts. You joined the 4-H club. There were other kind of clubs you did. And then coming through high school, you were part of different clubs. We have a need to join. And later in life, you know, maybe it's a garden club. Maybe it's a reading club. Maybe it's some sort of club at work. I know in the church where we attend, there's a motorcycle club. There's five or six guys that get together and ride their motorcycles, and they have a connection there. Also, at our church, it's named after the neighborhood, such as Shannon Hills is named here. The church where I go is called Stony Brook, and so we've got a group called the Stone Agers, and that's the 55 and older folks. I'm still having trouble recognizing I'm a part of that group, and so when they get together and go to lunch once a month, I still sort of sometimes do and sometimes don't, because I'm still not sure I want to be connected totally to that group. But at the core, we have a need to be associated and connected to a group. And so Scripture says that through God's working in us, as we're connected to the body of Christ, we're a part of a group. And I can tell you today that being associated with a local church, that's absolutely the best group that you can connect to, because it's a group that loves you. It's a group that cares for you. It's a group that reaches out to you. It's a group that helps meet the needs in your daily life. I'm sure some of you, on the other hand, can remember times in life when you didn't feel connected to anybody or anything, and you felt alone. You felt isolated. Not a good feeling. Maybe your mind flashes back to when you were that kid that always got chosen last, and the only reason you got chosen was because they need to even up the teams. Not a good feeling. Maybe you can remember times when, you know, everybody got invited except you. I was reading an article yesterday. It's funny how the Lord works and brings things. An article where somebody was writing in that their son that was new to a school, and the mother was trying to help him make friends, and it was his birthday. And so she invited all the class to come to his birthday party. But nobody RSVP'd, so she assumed they were going to show up. And what she didn't know was that that same day, a really popular kid in class was having a birthday party. And everybody in the class had been invited except her son, and he didn't get invited because he was brand new to the school and they didn't know him. So he has a birthday party, and nobody came. How disheartening. How tough it is when we're not connected, when we're out there by ourselves. We all need to be included, and God's got a plan to include us in the local body and to connect us. It is God's will for you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, to be connected, to be included in the local body. Again, there's a lot of benefits. Certainly, it's important to be a part of this group. It also helps us set our priorities in life. I would submit to you that many of us are connected maybe to too many groups. We have too many groups pulling on us and wanting us to do things. Scripture says this should be your priority group, being connected to the body of Jesus Christ. Another benefit of this is the only group that's going to last forever and forever. We are eternally connected as a part of the body of Jesus Christ. And life here versus eternity, it's a vapor. So we need to recognize the benefit. It's the longest lasting connection we're going to have. Again, many of you can look back in your life and you can see times and remember times when this body reached out to you in a way nobody else did. You've gone through health issues, you've gone through struggles, you've gone through financial issues, you just had problems with your kids, whatever. And you remember that card showing up, that phone call, somebody saying, "I'm praying for you." This is what the local body of Christ is all about, and being included. It's one of the blessings, is we are included in the body of Christ. But the third blessing that we want to think about is the blessing of individuality. Look at verse 14. We've just been reminded that we're all a part of the body, we're all included, but then it says, "But the body is not one member, but many." And then it goes on to talk about the foot and the ear and the hearing and so on and so forth. And in verse 18 it says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body." On this third blessing of getting connected, we see it is the blessing of individuality, and it focuses on selected gifts that are given to those of us who are believers. You know, we do all like to be included, don't we? But we also like to be special. We like to be recognized for being special. And so God says, "I'm including you in the body, but you're not just going to be like everybody else. I'm not making a bunch of little clones where everybody is a Chuck Andrews, thank the Lord, right? I am giving you special gifts, and you're going to be special, and you're going to be unique, and you're going to be critical to the functioning of the local body." What a significant blessing. He teaches that each of us is gifted in a special way to function within the body of Christ. All of us are not the same person. All of us are not to do the same things, but all of us are critical to the body of Christ. This doesn't really let you be a spectator, does it? Because you have a function. You have a place in the local body of Christ. You know, some of us are different just because we try to be. I'm not sure that's what this is talking about, but each of us is unique in the way that we are gifted by the Spirit of God. The body has many members, but what does it say again in verse 18? God has set each of us in the body just as it pleased Him. We are a part of God's special, wonderful plan that we probably can't understand and fathom. But He has looked down and He has said, Shannon Hills, these are the people that are a part of this fellowship and that are included. And each and every one of you has a place and a gift. That's the folks on the front row. That's the folks on the back row. It's the folks that are here this week, and it's the folks that aren't here this week. God says we each have a place in the local body, just where He wants us. Now, there's a couple of questions, I think, that come out of that that you may be having across your mind, or you may have already figured it out, but one of the questions is, you know, how do I know what my gift is, and how do I know how to fit in? Have you ever thought about that? I guarantee you, and it's one of the frustrations I've had in my Christian life. Scripture is very clear that everybody in this room that's a believer in Jesus Christ has been gifted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I would submit to you, if I handed out little slips of paper across up and down every one of these rows, and I ask you to write your name, and I ask you to write your spiritual gift, and I took those pieces of paper up, I'll bet you on less than 5% of those would I have an answer to what is your spiritual gift. Why is that? God says He's given us a gift. Is it some mystery that He doesn't want us to know or understand? I don't think so, because how can you do something you don't know or understand? God has gifted us, and He wants us to know what our gift is. So if you don't get anything else out of today, this is your little challenge. This is your little homework. Scripture gives three or four places where it explains what the spiritual gifts are. And I would encourage you to go and read those and write on a piece of paper what all those gifts are, first of all. Because, I mean, don't we need to know what the spiritual gifts are? Now, in the modern day church, they make a lot of this stuff up and they act like, you know, you're gifted because you can come out here and you mow the grass. Well, I don't think mowing the grass is a spiritual gift because it's not mentioned in here. It may fit into one of the categories of helps and such as that. So, if you're supposed to mow grass next week, come out and mow grass. I'm not discouraging that. But what are the spiritual gifts according to the Scripture? They're listed. Write this down. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 is a list of some of the spiritual gifts. Go read through that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, you got to read three chapters here. But there are constant references in here to spiritual gifts. You go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and there are gifted men there that are spiritually gifted. And finally, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. There's reference to spiritual gifts. It is crucial for us. If we understand, if we buy into this connection to the word of to the local body of Christ, and that we all have a part to play, and that we're all gifted, surely it makes sense for us to figure out what our spiritual gift might be. Once we know that, then we can start functioning in that way. So the second question is how do I find this out? Well, I've told you, you go list it, you go read it, you start praying about it. But I remember one time in my early Christian life, as I was really coming out from under what Bill talked about, not being the greatest kid, and really trying to find my way, I remember going to Dad and saying, Dad, how do I know how I'm connected? How do I know where to fit in? How do I know what my spiritual gifts are? And what he said has stuck with me for all these years. He said, "Chuck, I'm not totally sure how to answer your question, but here's what I've done. Whenever there's been a need out there, I've just gone out and tried to solve it. I've tried to see if that's where I fit in." And so I thought about that, and I thought about that. And so over the years, as I've been trying again to serve the Lord and understand how I'm connected to the local body, when I've seen a need, there's been times I've tried to fulfill that need. And over that time, it's helped me understand where I need to fit in. And in this modern day, and again, I've been away from this church in a long, long time, but in some of the other places I've been, one of the needs always seemed to be they needed somebody in the nursery. And you know, I came from the old school that there were certain people more qualified for that than others. But I decided, okay, now that it's a man thing, I'll see if I can go do this nursery thing. Well, I thought I did pretty good, but you know, I never got invited back. It was something about having all those kids in timeout in the corner that upset the parents. I was just trying to get them under control. I found out pretty quickly that, you know, helping out in that way was not, that just wasn't my niche. Mainly because even when I volunteered, they would just look like I wasn't in the room and they'd get somebody that could do it. Well, then I remember, you know, I've tried doing this choir thing. And thankfully, Bill didn't talk about hearing me today. You won't hear me because I don't sing loud enough to be heard. And there's a reason. I tried that. That didn't work. All the men started putting their hands over their ears and moving over sideways and left me up there by myself. That wasn't it. But here, in my late teens and early college years, there were needs to help out with the youth group. And so Kathy and I just said, okay, we're young, we feel like we can do that, and we started doing that. Surprisingly, they did invite us back. I mean, that shows either they were desperate or maybe I was finding my way. But over time, it has become more clear to me that, you know, I know what my spiritual gifts are. I know that I've got an ability to do certain things, and I don't have an ability to do other things. How do you know what your gift is? You go to Scripture, you understand what the gifts are, and then you start just listening and applying yourself. And when there's a need, when they ask for help, go do it. And over time, you'll find out where you are connected. Start serving. Start recognizing that's what God wants you to do. And start being a part of the local fellowship. Again, this is God's will for your life. You can't just show up. God has a plan and He needs you. One last thing on that is, what happens in your body, and this is referencing the body, what happens in the body when certain parts aren't doing what they're supposed to do? The body starts to have all kinds of problems, correct? Some of you know that I'm a runner, and like once in a while I'll start having a problem with one of my feet or something. Where you start trying to compensate for it by turning on the side of it or doing something. You know, pretty soon, all of a sudden, it's not just your foot that's hurting, it's your knee that's hurting. And a week later, your back's all out of whack. You know, that's what happens when you don't function in the local church as the individual that God has gifted. Other people who are zealous and full of enthusiasm, they jump in and start trying to do what you're not doing. That doesn't work. They become overworked, stressed out, and then you're sitting there saying, you know, this place doesn't look like it's functioning very well. Well, part of it's because maybe you're not functioning as you need to. When everybody doesn't do what they're supposed to, the body doesn't function the way God wants it. The lesson is, again, we need to function. That's the third blessing. God has made a great place for us as individuals, but the challenge is for us to step up and to know our gifts and to function. Fourthly, another blessing, and this is the blessing of insight in chapter 12, verse 31, and into chapter 13. It's a blessing that sets the standard, that focuses on the standard of God of how we are to be connected. At the end of this, Paul says in chapter 12, verse 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become as sounding bronze and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." There's a sequence here. To be connected to the local body of Christ means we're indwelled by His Spirit. That's the starting point. We're included, and we're individuals. But this is the standard for how we function with our gifts, and the standard is always the standard of love. It is the guiding principle that as we're exercising our gifts, it always needs to be done under the standard of love one for another. I recently attended what was a big event in Wilson, and big events in Wilson are not necessarily big events, but we're in Wilson, and so you think they are. But we had our first triathlon. It's a sprint triathlon out on the lake that's the reservoir in town, and it was a swim and a bike and a run, and it's called sprint because the distances are shorter than what you probably see on TV. I went out there not to participate because all I do is run, but I had some friends that were entered into the whole deal. And so I was there early enough to listen to them right as they were getting into the water, and the race director was giving them instructions. And he continued to point out the guidepost along the ways. And he helped them realize, if you don't follow this standard, if you don't follow these guideposts, you'll be disqualified from the race. You can't cut corners. You can't take shortcuts. You need to follow the guidepost. And he began to point out, if you looked out into the water, the body of this lake, there were two humongous blown up red things that were like balloon looking things. And you had to swim out to one, and then you swam over to the other one, and then you came back into the shore. That was the standard. That set the course. That set the path. And then you ran and you got on your bike and you had to follow these big, tall orange cones around the 14-mile bike trail. And then when you came back, you got off the bike and you ran through the bike area and you got off and you started running and you followed these little orange cones. So you knew when you were on the running trail. There was a standard of how to operate. Now, did everybody look the same? There were some strange-looking swimming things going on. So, no, everybody had their individual way of doing it, but they were all guided by the standard of this is the path you go down. We're all going to function differently. We've all got our different gifts. But Paul says, I show you the more excellent way. I don't care how good you are at your gift. If you're not doing it with an attitude and an approach of love for your fellow believers, if you're doing it in some ego way that, look at me, aren't I good? You don't understand it. You're not being guided by the principles that he lays down. The principle of insight is critical that we realize how we should function. You can read through chapter 13, verse 1 through 3, and he basically says, I don't care how great you are, and what you do, if you don't do it with love, here's how I account for it. It accounts as nothing. The challenge for us as we exercise our gifts is to recognize my gift is not about me. My gift is for you, and your gift is for me, and all of our gifts are for one another so that we can function as the body of Christ. We need the guidepost, we need the standard. And then finally, the fifth blessing is the blessing of instruction, and we don't have much time to go into this. But in chapter 14, after Paul's gone through chapter 13 explaining about you, the insight is how you do this in love, he gives the blessing of instruction. He says in chapter 14, verse 1, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. This is a blessing that focuses on scriptural direction. He is saying, I will give you direction on how the local church needs to function. And I will give you direction in my word of how you as individuals need to function in your daily life. It's all about our conduct. God gives us the way we need to function. Remember earlier when we said we are bombarded by the influence of the world? We allow that to direct our paths. And God says, no. My word directs your path. Whatever you are facing today, the answer is in my word. It's in my word through how I worked in other people's lives. It's in my word directly and specifically. How I function in my life and how this local church functions is clear cut in the word of God. In chapter 14, he goes into talking about two specific gifts and they were not being used properly. And he gave direction to that church of this is how you deal with this. God is clear in his direction on how a local church is to function. It's to function with elders in oversight. Shannon Hills Chapel clearly understands that and has elders. We don't have one man that's telling everybody how to do things in charge of every committee. We have elders. We understand the scripture of the ordinances. We understand that we're to do the Lord's Supper. I say this every time I get a chance. The Lord's Supper is the only meeting Jesus Christ asked us to do. There's certainly a pattern to do other kind of meetings for preaching and teaching, but the Lord's Supper is the only time he asked us to do that. It should be the central meeting of the local church. Scripture is clear on the roles of men and women and children. Scripture is clear on how the church needs to function. God has given us the blessing of instruction as one of the keys to know how we're to be connected to the local church. This morning, I've sought to encourage us on these blessings of being connected. The modern church movement has a lot of bad things going on, and yet we can sit back and say, but man, they got a bunch of people, and they got a bunch of activities, and I wish my kids could go there because they have all kinds of neat stuff. I just ask you to go to the scripture and find out what God wants in a local church and how he wants you to be connected. Some of you today are not connected. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and so we always open up and ask that is today the day you want to come to accept his gift of salvation. There are others that are saying, yeah, Chuck, I know I'm a spectator. You just don't know my life. I'm so busy. And I would submit to you, if you're too busy to be connected here, you're too busy, and you need to re-rank your priorities. Some of you are sitting here like me and saying, you know, Chuck, I used to do it. I used to be really good at doing a lot of stuff, but I'm just worn out and tired. And, you know, I need to let somebody else do it. That's the rationalization we do. I need to let somebody else step up and do it. God doesn't talk about retirement in the local church. You know, I watch Dad going around shaking hands. Dad's still exercising gifts. He's still trying to encourage and exhort. He's 86. That's a standard we all ought to follow. God wants us to continue on working for him. The first blessing is that of indwelling. It focuses on the Spirit of God. It's a starting point. The second blessing is that of inclusion. It focuses on the support of the body. We need to support one another. The third blessing is that of individuality, which focuses on selected gifts. What is your gift, and when are you going to start exercising it? The fourth blessing is that of insight, and it's focused on the standard of God. We're to do all this in love. And then finally, the blessing of instruction. It focuses on scriptural direction. God shows us in his word how he wants us to conduct our lives. Are you connected? Are you experiencing the blessings of being connected to the local body of Christ? I pray that you are, or I pray that you will be, and I pray it'll be done for his honor and his glory. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we praise you that you and your marvelous plan can find a way to use us. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us recognize the challenges of this church at Corinth and how you showed them that the way to deal with all the issues and the problems and the issues of the world was to focus on being connected to the body of Christ, where Jesus Christ is the head. He is the one we remember, we worship, and we love, and he wants us to function as his body, showing the world what it means to be a Christian and directing them to Jesus Christ. Lord, may it be so in our lives this week. Challenge us, encourage us, and show us the way. As we pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.